it wasn't the East Bay, it would have explained why Brock Purdy fumbled that ball late if it was drizzling, because we know if it gets a little wet, gets a little slick there, gets butterfingers.
I hate when you do that.
What? It's just truth and reality. Hopefully, if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl, Levi Stadium, Bad Bunny, by the way, you're going to be your halftime performer, according to him and according to the league yesterday, that was revealed. Hopefully, it's not raining, though, if the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl, Levi's. That's what we cannot have. Dealt with the sun. Just no rain. But was Brock Purdy the biggest issue yesterday for the 49ers? 888-957-9570. 22 of 38. Two touchdowns, two interceptions, 309 yards. And Eric Armstead with the forced fumble late to seal the deal.
Well, they were flat in a variety of phases, right? But you just, an offense can't turn the ball over. I thought the Luke Farrell turnover kind of started the momentum shift for the Niners. I mean, look, you can make the argument the Etienne run. I mean, really.
Travis Etienne looked incredible.
The huge whiff by Jason Pinnock on that play was just, I mean, you're just giving 7 points to Jacksonville.
Well, they had I feel like they had like a phantom holding call late on Jacksonville when Etienne broke it outside late in the game when he got that first down, and then they called it back, and that was just the Jaguars again. People are going to keep saying, the Niners were in it, the Niners were in it. The game was actually much closer. I was like, yeah, only because the Jaguars were idiots. They just didn't know what they were doing late in that game. That looked like a young team, a first-time head coach, and they were playing like a Trevor Lawrence. I mean, if we're coming away from like the quarterback angle, it's not like I was impressed by the opposition there.
I don't think Trevor's great by any stretch.
I wasn't impressed by him at all.
Very mediocre.
I was more concerned by Brock Purdy's play because I understand Trevor Lawrence making boneheaded decisions. I don't like seeing that from Brock because that's supposed to be his strength, is making the smart play. What's supposed to differentiate him from Jimmy Garoppolo is the decision-making, Joe. That's what he hangs his hat on.
And the movement.
And yes, the movement is a big part of it. The escapability.
Like, and that's where
absolutely.
I think yesterday was pretty evident to me. He wasn't himself, right? And like, but I go back to, all right, you weren't yourself, but you can't turn the ball over like that. No quarterback can. I mean, not one in the league is going to win a game throwing three picks or giving up three turnovers, excuse me.
Do you feel that was a trap game? I'm not buying that
trap
was a trap game. Matt Lively joined us on Friday. KPIX covers the team. He said it has a feel of a trap game. But it can't be a trap game to me if you were going into it with maybe a backup quarterback.
And
you lost Nick Bosa. You have all these injuries. You can't get a trap game if you have too many hurt players.
If your coach on the defensive side of the ball is calling out the other head coach, I highly doubt that you're, you know, overlooking said opponent.
By the way,
I mean, is that just me?
I don't think we've talked about that enough today, and we can continue it. Robert Saleh and Liam Cohen,
bad look,
going after each other. Now,
I love Robert Saleh.
Well, now, whoever was starting it, I don't really care. It's like you're a parent now. It's like I don't care who started it. I'm ending it. Like,
that's
what I do with my two kids. And God bless my 3-year-old Nora, or she's going to be three. She just beats her brother up constantly, and he just takes it because he knows as soon as he retaliates and pushes her, he's going to be the one to get in trouble. So he tells me all the time, Dad, Nora's doing this. So that's kind of how I felt watching Cohen and Saleh going at it yesterday. I don't care who's starting it. It's not a good look from the opposition when you lose that game and you're Robert Saleh. This is not a good look.
I mean, and on like the list of things that drove me insane, the fact that you scheduled to wear your home whites,
and
the most absurd.
And it was cloudy. And it was cloudy.
Carter, I know that this is something only I would lose my mind over. 1946, this team has been a team. They have only worn white on white at home in the last, let's say, 4 or 5 years on those special occasions. They wore white tops with gold pants at home during a regular season game. And like the OG in me, the archive version who loves the history of the team, I was offended that they did that.
I like the Jacksonville unis, by the way. The all teal, the black socks. I thought that's a hard look. For like colors that aren't like universally worn everywhere other than like the Sharks, I think, in America. Only other teal team. 888-957-9570.
Well, no, the Florida Marlins back in the day had sweet teal.
That's true. They did. But now it's like Miami Vice and it's like a different color.
Look, and everybody's like losing their minds about some of my Brock Purdy opinions. Guys, he's a good player. I don't think he's great. I think he's good. I think there are times he's played lights out. It's just ever since that Baltimore game, all right, on Christmas, he has not been the same player. Like, it's just look at the data. Go through game by game, week by week. Starting with last year, he has not been the same Brock. He's turned the ball over way too much. You cannot sustain in this league with your quarterback making that much money and turning the ball over as much as he is, it's just you're not going to win a lot of games.
You know what that coincides with, Joe? Another player that at the same time as Brock kind of fell off a little bit.
Christian McCaffrey.
There you go.
Yeah. Again, we have argued about this. Teams win and lose. Right now, George Kittle's out. Juwan Jennings has been in and out of the lineup. Okay, these are your best offensive players. Trent Williams looks like a shell of himself. Let's call
Josh Hines-Allen had his lunch yesterday.
Looks like a shell of himself. You know, there's an argument. Colton McKivitz is playing the best ball on the offensive line. That's crazy, but it might be true. They ran better to the right side yesterday than the left side. All right? Brian Robinson has been a big nothing burger. Like, I'm not trying to hate on him. He's just whatever. Ricky Pearsall's been awesome, but he's in and out of the lineup right now. Brandon Ayuk, one of your high-paid guys, hasn't played, right? So you have a lot of money not producing right now on that side of the ball. Brock included, right? He's been injured. Mac's been injured. Who's behind him? Yep. I don't think Mac's been lights out. He's been good. I don't think he's been lights out. I'm not here to say that Mac is some great quarterback. I don't believe that. I don't. I think he's good. But he's a good backup.
I'll say Mac Jones' two opponents, not as good as Brock Purdy's two opponents, but Mac Jones has looked better than Brock this year. Not to say he's a better quarterback.
Mac Jones
looked better. But he's played against lesser opponents.
I'm not going to argue it. Yeah. I'm not going to argue. I don't think that highly of Mac. I think he's a good backup.
Sure.
Fine, whatever. Defensive side of the ball. You lost the best player on the team defensively. Okay, you want to say Fred Warner? I'll take Nick Bosa. If I take Nick Bosa, you'll take Fred Warner. Doesn't matter. We missed him yesterday. They got zero pass rush. You got no Renardo Green playing the other cornerback spot, all right? They had multiple penalties from their DBs, and they were laying off guys because they were so afraid of getting beat over the top. Yep. You got a safety in Jason Pinnock playing for Malik Mustafa, who's not very good right now.
Bad angle.
Then we get to the special teams, all right? Your special teams unit isn't just bad. They're one of the worst units, again, in the league. So, yeah, a big chunk of my frustration today is the team, but it's also the money invested into players who are not performing at what you paid them to play at.
49ers right now, through 4 weeks, are the fifth worst running game in the NFL if we're going by yards per game. They are averaging 88 yards on the ground. That is only better than the Tennessee Titans, Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, and Cincinnati Bengals. 88 yards. And a Shanahan offense, and this is why when we have the Jay Grudens on of the world and people like to, you know, make fun, Jay Gruden, yeah, what does he ever want? He's not on Shanahan's level. Well, when he comes on our airwaves, former head coach of the Washington football team, you know, saying, yeah, I think Kyle Shanahan as like a passing game coordinator, mediocre, mid, not very good. And this is what matters when you're talking about the greats of play calling. You got to be a little bit more creative. So if the running game's getting stuffed, Joe, and I get it, he's a run-first philosophy guy, you don't think the Andy Reids, the Sean McVays, the Kevin O'Connells are going to cater to more of a passing style and open up things and be more creative there? I have yet to see it be more creative in the passing game. If you know that your running game is going to be struggling, and I don't think... like, is there anything that tells you it's going to get better?
They've dropped back and passed more in the first 4 weeks than they have, I feel like, in years.
But what I'm saying is they're doing that knowing that they don't have a running game. You got to get more creative with the passing game.
Well, so this is the part that, like, again, I think Purdy is better in a variety of ways than Jimmy G, but where it feels like the Jimmy G evolution, meaning the story arc that we went through with Jimmy G, is in the second year and the third year after the Super Bowl, right, that very next year and the year after that, the run game got predictable.
Yeah.
The box got loaded. They struggled to throw beyond the numbers deep down the field. They struggled to be able to stop and limit the amount of turnovers in the middle of the field. Teams knew where they wanted to throw the ball. They couldn't establish the run. That's why Debo became the wide back. And it was about, you know, trying to create some variation regarding their formations and how guys are used. And I thought Purdy was so much better than Jimmy in a variety of ways, okay? But the element that's I can't argue right now is that the offense feels like it's hitting a stall out similarly in that teams know they want to throw over the middle of the field. They're dropping linebackers. Now that he can't move as well because he's hurt, he's relegated to being more of a pocket guy, which takes away all of that creativity and all that make a play out of structure stuff that he hangs his hat on. It's why they won week one, because he was able to move around. And then the running game is totally getting stifled. It feels very 2021-ish. It just does.
So I said that they have a bottom five in rushing yards per game. They do. They also are bottom two in the NFL, the 49ers running game, in yards per rush attempt. They are averaging 3.3 yards per attempt, Joe. Second to last in the NFL, only ahead of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Well, and I watched Brian Robinson run, and it's like he's like going in like ginger, like, just don't hurt me for the year. And I don't blame him because he's going to be a free agent.
Well, they're only ahead of a team that's had 61 rushing attempts all year. They've just been throwing it. The Bengals. That's the only team, and they look cooked. We have full phone lines. Let's go to them. 888-957-9570.